Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow is a WREL weather alert day. We'll likely see strong, severe thunderstorms as well as flooding. I'll show you what time to expect all of that.
Plus new information related to the shooting in Goldsboro. A 15-year-old girl is dead, four others wounded in a shooting.
And breaking news in the past hour from Apex. New at noon, we know what an FBI agent was doing moments before shooting a man in the parking lot outside a sports store.
Tomorrow is a WRL weather alert day with a risk of severe storms and flooding. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at when to expect severe weather where you are. Here's a look at how things are likely to play out for us tomorrow. We're going to start off with a band of rain that comes in during the morning commute. That's likely to be heavy at times, and I'll walk you through that with Futurecast so you can understand where the heaviest rain will be at the time you may be heading out the door. Then afternoon thunderstorms are likely to crop up after a little break in the precipitation around lunchtime. We have a level 1 out of 5 risk for severe storms, with the biggest threat being damaging winds. But because of all the rain that we saw last weekend, our soil is still saturated and our rivers and streams are still running high. So we have a higher risk for flooding, even with a lesser amount of rainfall. This is a look at our severe weather threat. Again, damaging winds will be our biggest threat. This is for all day tomorrow for the entire viewing area. So let's walk through it. We're going to start here at about 4 a.m. and we start to see at 4 a.m. some showers that begin to move into the Sandhills. This is all likely to start in the western or southwest part of our viewing area, but mainly is showers. It wouldn't be totally out of the question to have a thunderstorm pop up with this first line that comes through, but this is most likely to be steady to heavy rain. This is 6 a.m., but by the time we get to 7 a.m., we're beginning to see that moving into the Triangle area. It may be heavy in Clinton and Fayetteville and Southern Pines. By 8 a.m., we're looking at some heavy rain in the Triangle area all the way down toward Goldsboro, south and west, and then this line continues to move northward. At 10 o'clock, it's from the Triangle area north and east, and it moves on by us by around lunchtime. We're not finished at that point. We may see a few breaks in the clouds, which will help to destabilize the atmosphere, and watch through the afternoon as we have these scattered thunderstorms that will continue to pop up. That's where we'll have a more likely chance of seeing some of the damaging winds. Again, with an maybe 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain on Friday, we have a level 1 risk of flooding. So flooding is a possibility as well. I'm going to show you exactly how much rain we may see on Friday coming up. But again, here's a look at the timeline. We are likely to see some rain during the morning commute, especially the second half of the morning commute, a little break around midday, and then a better chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening.
We're following new information this noon. A 15-year-old girl is dead. Five other teenagers are recovering after a shooting in Goldsboro. All of the surviving people are between 15 and 19 years old. WRO's Joe Fisher is live in Goldsboro this noon. And Joe, we still don't know how many shooters police are looking for out of this, right?
Jeff, that's right. And Goldsboro police have not released any information about potential suspects or persons of interest. You mentioned that 15-year-old girl was shot and killed here in Goldsboro last night. And we do have her cousin here with us right now. And just tell me a little bit. We've just been talking for the past 30 seconds. Bring me up to speed with what you know to be true about last night.
I know she was a beautiful young lady with a beautiful spirit. I know her mom is a hardworking young lady, which is my cousin. Her grandmother owned a ministry, which is to help feed the community. And she reached out to certain like people in need, and they're anointed people, they're Christians. I go on about the situation, but I'm just happened to come up to my cousin, one of my foundation women's house, and I'm just lost for words, because about 3 years ago I had a cousin who was gunned down in Goldsboro, Montez, and he was shot over there by the New Projects and left for dead, and he was only 16 years old, and he was a young man. And just to see this happen over and over again in our community, as a mother, it's something got to be done about the gun violence.
What is going through the hearts of you and your family members this morning regarding the 15-year-old?
We are outraged. We're brokenhearted. I mean, to see a mother cry like that. I'm a mother. And to see a mother cry like that, I mean, just embrace my soul. We come from a big family. And we're going to pull it together, but we want justice for my little cousin. Whoever done this, I ask you, please, if you got any sense of care for yourself and just come and turn yourself in. Just turn yourself in.
We know from police that there was, you know, a large party. There were dozens of people, you know, in the backyard of a home right here near Lionel Street and near Leslie Street. What was the party? What was the gathering?
I'm not for sure. I don't like I said, once again, I'm a cousin. I'm relative. I don't like to speak on whoever the house was at because I don't know the people. All I know they was having a good time. You know, spring break, the kids want something to do. They was out having a good time, enjoying each other, and I guess it was some words between somebody else that was there, and they just came back and did whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I'm part of Women's Hope Foundation. We serve the community. Mm-hmm. We help feed the hungry. We try to talk to young teens about teen violence and things of that nature. And we just want justice for my cousin. We want whoever done this to come forward and be honest with itself. Even though it was might have been a mistake, they didn't mean to do it. It just happened. But be honest and come forward so we get closure.
Do you know, based off of people you've talked to, whether multiple people were shooting or if it was one person?
I don't know. I just know right now my main concern focuses on my family, just helping them, being there for them, and support them the best I can. And being a mother of young children, I just want to help her.
Talk to me about Joyana. What are you going to remember most about her?
She was talented. She loved to do hair. She had dreams of being a stylist. The love she shared for her family, the love she shared for her friends, and just she was a joy. She had a beautiful smile. She's like a butterfly. She just always was positive. Never out there and doing crazy. She was just positive, young, bright young lady that had a big future ahead of her. And her mother just had purchased a home for them, and she was so excited about that. 4-bedroom nice house for them, and she was trying to do something for her children. And as a mother, it's sad because when we grow up in a city like this, the city is small. There's no reason for everybody to be around here killing each other. It got to stop. It got to stop.
Ma'am, thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate you. Our hearts are with you and your family, certainly. Again, what we know from last night is this shooting happened at a home, in the backyard of a home on Leslie Street in Goldsboro, right around 6:30. That 15-year-old did die here at the scene. Five other people were shot. They were taken to UNC Wayne Healthcare. We are working to get an update on their condition. Again, Goldsboro police this morning saying all of the victims were between ages 15 and 19 years old. We are working to get some more specific ages about those victims and, of course, any information about suspects. We're going to be here in Goldsboro throughout the day working to get more information. We'll have another update on our news beginning at 4 o'clock. Jeff.
So some of that raw emotion from family members is heartbreaking. Joe Fisher live in Goldsboro for us this noon. Joe, thanks.
Breaking just within the past hour, the Apex police chief says a stolen AR-15 type rifle was found at the scene where an FBI agent shot and killed an 18-year-old this week. Dave Sanchez was fatally shot in the parking lot of an Academy sports store after police say he and a friend stole ammunition for the rifle inside. WRL's Keenan Willard is live at Apex police headquarters now, where police aren't saying yet how this alleged shoplifting turned violent. Keenan.
Renee, that is the question at the heart of this investigation, and the Apex police chief said he's still not ready to answer it. But what we did hear right now was why the FBI agent actually got involved in this situation, turning a shoplifting incident, allegedly, into a fatal encounter. What we heard was this. On Tuesday, Agent Denzel Ward just happened to be shopping at that Academy sports store in Apex. That's when, apparently, according to police, he saw Sanchez and that female friend running out from the store after shoplifting ammunition that would have fit that stolen rifle that was later found on the scene. Now, Armstrong says that the FBI agent Denzel Ward confronted Sanchez and the female friend when they were inside of their car. They got out of their car, and that's when Ward shot and killed Sanchez. I asked specifically, did either of the two who were inside the car threaten the agent with a gun? The police chief said he was not ready to answer that question. That is still something that's under investigation at this point. Chief Armstrong did say that stolen AR-15 rifle that our crew saw on the ground at the scene was already there near Sanchez's body when officers arrived. Now, they are still trying to work through how this chance encounter turned deadly.
There was no investigation that was going on at the store by the agent. You know, he wasn't surveilling these individuals. Nothing that we've uncovered suggested that there was any investigation by the agent into these two individuals.
I did ask if any surveillance footage that was recovered as part of this investigation would be made public. Chief Armstrong said that's going to be a judge's decision, not his. Renee.
Keenan Willard uncovering new layers in this story live in Apex. Thanks, Keenan.
President Biden says there's a full-blown ongoing investigation into the leak of Pentagon documents. He made the brief comment to reporters while in Dublin, Ireland. Biden met with the president and prime minister of that country, but is spending most of his trip to Ireland this week exploring his family's roots.
Anti-Trump protesters gathered outside the New York Attorney General's office carrying banners and chanting.
Trump is not above the law.
Trump is not above the law.
Former President Trump returned to New York City this morning to sit for a deposition in a lawsuit against his nonprofit organization. He'll answer questions about accusations the Trump Organization falsified financial statements in order to obtain loans. New York Attorney General Letitia James filed the lawsuit. It also names Trump's eldest children. The case is set to go to trial in October. As the former president sat for a deposition in the civil lawsuit, he picked up another endorsement for his 2024 White House bid. Senator Ted Budd of North Carolina became the seventh Republican senator to get behind Trump. The former president also has the backing of 39 House members.
Two universities released their tropical forecasts for the 2023 season, and the numbers are pretty equal. Meteorologist Amy Womack is here to break it all down for us.
NC State and Colorado State releasing their forecast this morning for the upcoming tropical season, both forecasting a near normal season. We'll lean on our local university here. 11 to 15 named storms is the forecast. 6 to 8 of those becoming hurricanes. 2 to 3 perhaps becoming major hurricanes. One of the reasons that we don't think we're going to have an above normal season, an El Nino is likely to form. NOAA issued an El Nino watch today, a 62% chance of a development for an El Nino this summer. And that typically leads to less activity in the tropical Atlantic. One note, we do have above normal sea surface temperatures in the tropical Atlantic. And as always, it only takes one storm to impact your area for an active season. But we'll continue to monitor this as we get closer to the season that starts on June 1st.
Fort Lauderdale is dealing with flash flooding and rising water levels today after the area saw as much as 20 inches of rainfall. Airport officials shut down Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood Airport as runways turned into lakes with standing water several inches deep. The airport was supposed to open at noon, but the latest update is that they won't open until Friday, 5 in the morning. City officials also issued an emergency declaration and closed the county courthouse, state attorney's office, and schools. Some are even calling this a 50-year flood event.
Coming up next at noon, a bridge collapse in Columbia killed two police officers. What officials have ruled out as far as the cause of that collapse?
Also, simulating life on Mars, how this habitat will get a crew ready for a real trip to the red planet.
Plus, 6 months since the Headingham shooting massacre that killed 5 people. At 12:30, how people in that neighborhood are recovering from the tragedy.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A bridge in Columbia collapsed, killing 2 national police officers. The governor there informed media there were several vehicles on the bridge at the time. The bridge crossed the La Vieja River. According to officials, the incident still under investigation. They have ruled out terrorism. No one else was injured. Police in Paris are using flashbangs to break up protesters who are marching against pension reforms in France. For the 12th day, hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets for demonstrations against a reform that would raise the retirement age from 62 to 64.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, Duke University dropping its COVID vaccine requirements for most students. The operative word there being most students. The university says because of a decline in COVID cases, it's no longer mandating COVID vaccines and booster shots. That means on May 11th, when the federal public health emergency ends, current and new students, faculty and staff who don't work in the healthcare environment will no longer be required to receive the primary or booster vaccines. Now, anyone working for Duke Health and its subsidiaries will still be required to get the primary series of COVID shots, but no longer required to get the booster shots. All Duke Health Science students will continue to follow the same protocols as Duke Health.
The breaking news in the legal battle over mifepristone, the main drug that's used in medication abortions. Just before midnight, a federal appeals court partially blocked a nationwide ban on the drug that was set to start tomorrow night. That ban had been ordered by a federal judge in Texas. Here's what the new ruling means. Mifepristone will remain available to women while the case moves through the courts. But the court also allowed new restrictions on the drug to take effect. And that includes requiring women to visit a doctor in person to get mifepristone. Women are already required to do that in our state, North Carolina, but this ruling will impose the same rule in dozens of other states where the drug is more easily accessible.
It seems Arnold Schwarzenegger dug quite a hole for himself this week. The actor and former California governor shared a video of himself earlier this week filling in a pothole using packaged asphalt. The Terminator star tweeted, "Let's not complain, let's do something about it." Turns out that pothole was actually a service trench being worked on by SoCal Gas Company. NASA is simulating life on Mars so that the crew is ready for the real thing. Four crew members outside of NASA with a background in science and technology will embark upon a mission to Mars.
Joy Addison shows us the Mars habitat, where 365 days worth of it, they'll eat, sleep, and exercise just as if they were in outer space.
As we're moving from near Earth orbit or low Earth orbit to further missions further away from Earth, we really need to understand how we're impacting crew health with more limited resources.
NASA's Moon to Mars exploration started with missions like the Artemis launch and continues with this Mars simulation habitat. It's about the size of a 3 to 4 bedroom house and will be used for NASA's longest analog mission to date, 365 days.
It's an isolation and confinement mission for a year with a crew of four. We're putting in realistic simulations. They're going to be doing realistic Mars tasks. They're going to have a lot of exploration activities in our sandbox, which will be more Mars realistic.
From the sand to the 3D printed walls, this Mars habitat will be a place where the volunteers will practice their personal hygiene and health care, like drawing blood. They will also exercise, grow food, and collect geology samples.
We are going to be measuring their performance, their cognition, their health over that year to really understand and make sure that we're supporting it. And then that information we can take and give to the vehicle planners.
This area will soon be packed with all of the supplies that will go to Mars. But there is one area of life on Mars NASA couldn't simulate.
So we are not able to simulate the Mars gravity.
So what we've created here is a space where we can simulate virtual reality spacewalks or Mars walks. Also simulate a variety of other expected tasks that we might see on Mars, such as geology, removing dust from your spacesuit or solar panels, to repairing the habitats.
Boy, the lengths they have to go to go to that length. Joy Addison reporting there. Two additional crew members will be trained just in case anyone opts out or just can't make it through the year-long process for that mission.
It's like boot camp for space. Would you go up to Mars?
Well, yeah, after somebody else does it first.
Okay, all right. I feel like he and Elizabeth, you both would be up for going there. Me, I'm happy to be here on Earth.
I don't know. Are there mountains? Are there rivers?
Oh, yeah,
we'll see. We do have a WRL weather alert day for tomorrow. Today looks absolutely beautiful, but we want to get you ready for tomorrow, too. Rain in the morning, so that's going to be steady to heavy. Afternoon thunderstorms, that level one risk for severe storms, and a level one risk for flooding as well. Damaging winds and flooding are going to be our biggest threats for tomorrow. That severe weather threat, that level one risk, damaging winds, possibly some small hail, definitely some heavy rain, at least at times, with the system for tomorrow. And then here's our flooding risk, which encompasses almost the entire viewing area. Here's the deal with our flooding risk. We're looking at, you know, somewhere between 3/4 of an inch and an inch of rain out of the system tomorrow. Normally that wouldn't cause any flooding, but because we had 4 to 6 inches of rain in some places last weekend, we are already seeing, you know, a lot of water out there, a lot of water still in the rivers and streams. We still have some flooding ongoing on the Tar River. So that's why just, 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain could cause some flooding for tomorrow. Here's a look at where the system is right now. It's beginning to move onshore. It's been down here in the Gulf of Mexico, picking up some moisture. It's starting to push inland now. Earlier this morning, there was a tornado watch here. You can see that is almost expired. That's definitely good news. There were one or two warnings there, severe thunderstorm warnings along that line there, just east of the low earlier this morning. Futurecast, at 4 o'clock, we start to see some of the clouds streaming in. It's beautiful and sunny out there right now, but late afternoon into the evening, the clouds roll through. Here's 9 p.m. Notice a little shower shower may also move through, but it's likely to be, you know, after 9 or 10 o'clock that most of us will see that. And the bulk of us won't see it until much later, as in early in the morning tomorrow. From Clinton to Fayetteville, back over towards Southern Pines at 6 a.m., there's some rain. It starts to really pick up between 7 and 8 o'clock around the Triangle area. It continues to lift through, say, Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, Durham, and Roxboro at 10, and then on through our northeastern counties by lunchtime. After that, we're still not done with it. We're going to see scattered thunderstorms that develop in the afternoon and evening. Here's 5 o'clock. You can see that. Notice this band that's back to the west. So more scattered thunderstorms all the way through until maybe 10 or midnight. After that, it looks like it settles down a little bit. Right now, it looks beautiful. Lots of sunshine. Here's a look at Rocky Mount Mills. Temperatures are warming up quickly. It's already 76 degrees, but our dew point's down at 52. So that still makes it feel pleasant. The dew point's going to jump into the 60s over the weekend, so it's going to make it feel a little steamier. We'll climb into the mid-80s this afternoon with the dew point in the 50s. That still will feel good. So enjoy today while you can. Friday again, that WRL weather alert day. We'll be watching for some strong storms, some heavy rain, and potential flooding. Saturday, everything calms down. We could see an isolated shower. We're going to walk through that for you coming up on FutureCast in just a little bit. This evening, it's Bark in the Park at the DBAP at 6 o'clock, 80 degrees. At 8 o'clock, 75. Again, the humidity stays fairly low, and it looks like the rain will hold off until the game is over. Looking at Saturday and Sunday, we have an isolated chance for a storm. The biggest thing that we'll watch on Sunday is the approach of a front from the west. I'll show you the timeline for that coming up in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. Duke Energy customers are being encouraged to sign up for a program that supports renewable energy and reduces environmental impact. But the program costs $4 extra a month. Today on WRAL's Evening News, we're finding out why it costs more to support clean energy.
Pods, liquids, powder. Consumer Reports tested the top detergents on the market. We'll tell you which one came out ahead.
And still ahead this noon, the price to put food on the table dropped in March. Coming up, we'll tell you which items are more affordable.
And a company is looking into how beers are affecting the environment. After the break, we'll show you how one scientist is fighting this problem.
If you love next day shipping, you may soon be paying more. A new report by the Wall Street Journal says people care less about fast deliveries and more about reliability. Companies like FedEx and UPS have raised prices for these services. They hope increased prices will lower the amount of same day shipping orders.
Here's a piece of encouraging news. Grocery prices dropped for the first time since 2020. How about that? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, fish, eggs, and poultry fell 1.4% in March. Hey, it's a little drop. Products on which the price did increase were bakery items, cereals, and non-alcoholic drinks. Although prices dropped, groceries are still more expensive this year than any time before. Now is a good time to buy a new vehicle. The cost of a new car dropped for the first time in 2 years. Data from Kelley Blue Book shows us the average price fell by $550 in March, which means an increase in inventory for people. Prices are still 3.8% higher this year compared to last year.
It's been 6 months since the deadly shooting in Raleigh's Headingham neighborhood. No one has been charged. What we've learned about the case.
And artificial intelligence is more common than you might think. Coming up, we'll look at the role it's playing in the future of your health care. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Today marks 6 months since a teenager went on a deadly shooting spree in southeast Raleigh. Police say 15-year-old Austin Thompson killed five people, including his brother, and injured two others. To date, no one has been charged. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is in the Headingham neighborhood today and speaking with victims' families. Chelsea.
Yeah, let's just show you the entrance here, Jeff. This looks far different than it did 6 months ago. Those towering crosses, those tributes, the flowers are gone. But we should mention that the healing is still very fresh in this community of more than 40,000 residents. Now, let's show you those victims. Off-duty Raleigh police officer Gabriel Torres was shot and killed that night. Nicole Connors was killed with her dog on her front porch. Mary Marshall was killed walking on the greenway behind her their home with her dog. Susan Carnitz was on a 7-mile run on that same trail when she was shot to death, and 16-year-old James Thompson, the shooter's brother, also killed. Austin Thompson, we should mention, was also injured. 6 months later, officials are still tight-lipped about where the shooter is being held and his condition. For Rob Steele, though, fiance of Mary Marshall, who was murdered, each day that passes is still a struggle.
Cook meals and do the grocery shopping and take care of the animals and, you know, all of those things that go into being an adult that I'm having to figure out how to do again without Mary.
Now, coming up in our later newscast, we'll talk to District Attorney Lauren Freeman as to where this case stands within the justice system and see if we can get some answers that this community has long had. She has said for quite some time now that she plans to try Austin Thompson as an adult. Jeff.
Look forward to hearing what the future is as that neighborhood recovers. Chelsea Donovan in Headingham. Thank you.
We're working to learn what caused a serious crash that shut down Avent Ferry Road in Holly Springs for hours overnight. Video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker shows the scene near Holly Meadow Drive after 9 p.m. We spotted several motorcycles on the street, but Holly Springs police have not confirmed whether anyone was hurt. In Person County, a 15-year-old is dead after drowning in Hyco Lake. This happened last night at 6. The search lasted about 2 hours. Witnesses say the boy was with a group of teens. Swimming is not allowed in that area. The sheriff says it is a popular hangout spot for teens. The boy's name has not been released.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Harnett, Johnston, and Moore counties. Children ages 8 to 17 can get a free plane ride this Saturday at Moore County Airport. It is part of the Experimental Aircraft Association's first Young Eagles event of the year. About a dozen privately owned airplanes will be available for rides to an expected 200 children. This event is part of the Spring Open House weekend. A Johnston County developer will have to revise plans for a new multifamily complex. Last night, the town of Cary rejected the plan to build housing along North O'Neill Street that would have included 100 condos and 30 townhomes, I should say. Now, council members were reportedly concerned about the amount of increased traffic there. A new ordinance will help Anger regulate an influx of food trucks. Under the new law, owners must purchase a permit good for up to 180 days. Vendors must also provide proof of the most recent inspection from the Environmental Health Department that licensed the food stand, show a state-issued photo identification for each employee, and have liability insurance good for no less than $300,000.
We're following some breaking news here in the WRL Live Center. For the last several days, we've been reporting on classified documents related to the Ukraine war that were leaked. Now the Wall Street Journal is reporting those highly classified documents on Ukraine and dozens of other highly classified materials likely originated from an Air National Guardsman who was recently based at Fort Bragg right here in North Carolina. Of course, again, this is what the Wall Street Journal is reporting. We are working to independently confirm this information. Now, where those documents were posted, this National Guardsman connected to the Massachusetts National Guard was apparently a leader of a group where all these documents were posted. Again, the Wall Street Journal reporting that leak likely came and originated from somewhere on Fort Bragg.
Ken, thanks for that update. Artificial intelligence is reshaping how medical professionals diagnose and treat patients. Facilities use the technology to serve in various roles, from customer service chatbots to diagnosing cancer. Mark Meredith looks at the AI's role in the future of your healthcare.
It can't wear a lab coat, but artificial intelligence is already debuting at hospitals, clinics, and doctor's offices nationwide.
What we started developing was essentially an AI co-pilot for doctors.
Eli Ben-Joseph is the co-founder and CEO of Regard, an AI tech company operating within 30 hospitals. He says with Regard, doctors can input a patient's symptoms and the AI will pop out a diagnosis.
We like to say it's almost like having an AI med student or an AI medical resident that helps the doctors with their day-to-day.
Probably going to be due for a CAT scan and a couple of treatments.
AI's medical abilities appear limitless, from auto-drafting doctor's notes to reading x-rays, even assisting in surgeries. Still, getting people to trust AI with their care remains challenging. A Pew Research survey finding 60% of people would be uncomfortable if their provider relied on AI for care. Dr. Marty McCary says AI still has limits.
Patients simply don't trust a machine over a human being, but they are welcoming of a machine to assist a surgeon or a physician.
While some experts believe AI can cut costs for providers and patients, the tech can also make mistakes, leaving others to warn safeguards are needed to ensure humans still call the shots.
The reason it has the potential for catastrophe is because as the AI systems get more powerful, we don't know how to control them reliably. So they could potentially go off the rails.
And that was Mark Meredith reporting. Experts believe AI will also play a larger role in healthcare at home, with Americans being able to self-diagnose based off of AI readings without ever physically visiting with a doctor. Still to come, celebrating women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Up next, we'll talk live with one Raleigh-based photographer's mission to capture the beauty and power of earned experiences.
Let's make yourself a beer with beer powder and some water. You've got a cold one right there. Why some say this is the next big thing and it could help save the environment.
A powerful project to showcase women in their prime is taking shape in Raleigh. Portrait photographer Paige Burris decided to photograph 40 women over the age of 40 to celebrate life after 40 years and how they've stepped into their power. She joins us now to talk about where you can view the project and how you or someone you know can take part. Paige, thank you so much for joining us. I'm part of the 40 and over club, and I know many of our viewers are as well. And our society celebrates youth, right? 30 under 30, 40 under 40, but yours is 40 over 40. What inspired you to seek out and turn your lens on mature women?
Well, the reason I feel so strongly about photographing this demographic in particular is that as women age, society tends to sweep us under the rug as if we're invisible. And we're taught that aging is something to be ashamed of and we're not beautiful anymore. When in fact, if we look at the remarkable contributions that women in the mature years have made, it's incredible to see all they've done, the challenges they faced, and that they're still thriving through it all. And the portrait experience is meant to remind them of their beauty, their value, and their worth.
With age does come value. You offer this magazine-style photo shoot to capture these women in images. You also do a story video interview. Share with us a few of their stories and what amazed you about them.
Well, the amazing thing was how diverse their fields of work are. You might look at my website and see these women and think, wow, these women are glamorous and they're living glamorous lives. But when you hear their careers, you'll be really surprised. One of my women runs a sustainable meat farm in eastern North Carolina. And so that's a farmer where you see these glamorous shots. She also, what she does every day is she works with chickens and sheep and cows. And then some of the other fields of careers that these women have been long-haul truck drivers. Some have been teachers, some are nurses in oncology, authors. There's just a range of careers, and they're all different. But what brings us together as women are the similarities in the things that really bring us together as far as women who age. We all feel the same way. We feel we still have something to offer. And I'm trying to show that to them and remind them of who they are in these portraits.
And Paige, the 40 over 40 project, people can view your work at an upcoming gala that will benefit Dress for Success. That's coming up in 1 week. Tickets are still available, right?
They sure are. And we're having the gala next Thursday, April 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Dress for Success Triangle. There's the address right up on the screen. That's the address. That is a organization I partnered with because they're also women's empowerment. They help a different group of women who are struggling economically. They give them coaching and full outfits head to toe to look professional when they go in for jobs so they have a better chance of getting a job that can support themselves and their children. And so we're going to give back to that group when we have our gala next Thursday. And I'd love for anyone to participate who wants to come. You can find tickets on my website.
And to let our viewers know, this project was so successful, you're doing a second round of 40 women over 40 this year. You're looking for candidates, and if you're interested, you can contact Paige at PaigeBurrisPortrait.com. Paige, thank you so much for talking with us, and we appreciate your message of embracing the journey of age and value. Ladies, I hope you're listening.
Thank you so much, Renee. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Well done, Paige. So dynamic. I'm going to nominate you, Renee. New projects are in the works to help the beer industry become more sustainable. We'll look at some of the ways breweries are becoming more climate friendly. Plus, navigating U.S. national parks just got a little easier. How Google Maps is helping Americans take in the sights even without cell service. And welcome back. This is a live look right out back, the WRL Gardens, as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. A favorite beverage could be getting better for the environment. Lauren Blanchard shows us how farmers and scientists are inventing new ways to help beer manufacturing become more sustainable.
Farmers and scientists are on a mission to make beer that's better for the environment, and their unique approaches are something to be hoppy about. Hops are one of the main ingredients in beer, but growers in Spain say these plants are under attack by climate change.
The combination of droughts and higher summer temperatures are leading to extreme reductions in the yield.
To combat worsening conditions outside, these hops are grown inside a facility which only uses renewable energy and no pesticides. They're grown vertically in water, taking up less land. Because of this, crews are able to use almost 95% less water than traditional farms. In the future, the team wants hop-growing facilities like this, built directly next to the breweries that use them.
We would be able to use the CO2 that's emitted in the fermentation of the beers to be able to accelerate the photosynthesis of our plants.
Meanwhile, researchers in Germany have created beer powder. Simply mix a few scoops into a glass of water and you've got yourself a pint. Workers say the powder eliminates the need for beer to be shipped in bottles or cans, and the process to make it would require less water and other resources.
We solve water problems, bottle problems, energy problems, transport problems. It's so fascinating. We can save about 3 to 5% of the CO2 emissions for Germany alone.
As Lauren Blanchard reporting, and the team in Germany hopes to have the beer powder ready to hit the market by the end of this year.
New features on Google Maps will make it more convenient for visitors to explore national parks. There's a new update that will highlight the entire path when searching for a trail. Google says the feature will help people see what the trail looks like from start to finish. Users can view photos and reviews to learn more about where they're going. There's also a function that offers ways to quickly find some of the popular spots in a national park. How great is that? Sometimes when you just look at the trail on the map, it all looks flat, right? But yeah, it really helps to know the inclines and the hills.
The topography of it all, you know, how much elevation you're going to be tackling is a big deal. Or you could just take Elizabeth Gardner with you. She's the best trail guide anywhere around.
Absolutely.
I'll go. Just let me know whenever. There are really some great YouTube videos, too. When we were going out to Yellowstone last summer, I watched a bunch of videos of the trails that we were interested in taking. Tomorrow is going to be mostly an indoor day. Of course, it's a WRL Weather Alert Day. Morning rain and then scattered afternoon thunderstorms. And it's in the afternoon that we would be more likely to see scattered storms that could produce some wind damage. We could have an isolated storm in the morning, but a much better chance in the afternoon. It's a level one risk of severe storms that could produce wind damage. But we also have a level one risk for some flooding as well. But again, damaging winds, small hail, flooding are going to be our major impacts. Now, we've been talking about rain for this weekend all week long. The best chances remain on Friday. But there are a few things to tell you that have changed a little bit for Saturday and Sunday. We're still looking at warm temperatures. Friday will be in the 70s, Saturday and Sunday in the 80s. Spotty shower chances on Saturday and Sunday, but we're watching a cold front that's going to approach late on Sunday. Right now, it looks like it would be around sunset or maybe even a little bit later, but we'll be watching that. You know, today's Thursday, that's Sunday. So keep checking back if you have outdoor plans on Sunday afternoon or evening. I'll let you know if that is moving any faster. It's way back here at this point. System system number one is starting to move onshore. That's the one that comes in tomorrow. And we'll take another look at Futurecast here because it is likely to have an effect on our morning commute. At 4 a.m., we're still fairly dry, but by the time we get to 6 a.m., we're seeing some rain in our south and western counties. So Fayetteville, Clinton, back over towards Siler City, Southern Pines are all going to see rain. Between 7 and 8 o'clock, a lot of that rain moves right into the Triangle area. That's a really busy time on the road. So you may think about what you can do. You know, maybe go in to work a little later tomorrow morning, maybe a little earlier, because with heavy rain coming through during the commute, it's just going to be really messy. Brian Schrader will be here to help you through that tomorrow morning, though. By lunchtime, most of that heavy rain has lifted northward. We may see a little bit of a lull in the action, but it won't be over. Watch the thunderstorms continuing to develop through the afternoon and evening. There's all the way through 9, 10 o'clock. Now, Saturday looks much quieter. We're going to see some cloudy skies to start with, a little sunshine breaking out around lunchtime, and a very small chance of a shower through the afternoon. Here's a look at Saturday at 5 o'clock. Again, things are looking dry. This is 8 a.m. Sunday, and we'll be dry. Still looking at the timeline of this system, not really rolling through until, again, after sunset. You can see that's 11 o'clock with some of those showers and thunderstorms starting to approach. The heaviest rain is likely to be Friday. We're looking at anywhere from a half an inch to maybe an inch of rain, depending on where you are, and really not adding a lot to that through sunset on Sunday, but Sunday night and Monday, we'll see more of it. Friday, we have that level one risk for flooding. Again, even though we're not looking at a lot of rain, we had so much rain last weekend that, of course, the streams are still high. 90% on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, 20%. We still have some flooding happening on the Tar River at Tarboro all the way through Saturday morning. Riverside Park may be flooded, so be careful there. Once all this moves out over the weekend, we're looking at some drier and cooler conditions for early next week.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Guinness Records crowns the world's shortest dog. Ooh. Just ahead, we'll share the name of that small size winner and how the record holder is part of a family tradition.
Plus, here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. 9, 36, 41, 44, 59. The Powerball is 4 and the multiplier is 2.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Police say a 15-year-old girl died in last night's shooting in Goldsboro, and five other young people, all teenagers as well, were hurt. Witnesses say teenagers were at a pool party on North Leslie Street when the shooting happened. So far, there's no information about possible suspects.
The Apex police chief says a stolen rifle was found at the scene where an FBI agent shot and killed an 18-year-old. The police chief says the FBI agent was shopping at the store when he saw two people run out with stolen ammunition. The chief says the officer confronted the pair, which ultimately led to Dave Sanchez being shot in the parking lot.
Former President Donald Trump picked up another endorsement for his 2024 White House bid. Ted Budd of North Carolina became the seventh Republican senator to get behind Trump. The former president also has the backing of 39 House members. The endorsement came as Trump returned to New York City this morning for a deposition in a lawsuit against his nonprofit organization. Guinness World Records just named a Chihuahua the world's shortest dog. This is Pearl, a two-year-old Chihuahua, shorter than a popsicle stick. Look at it compared to the dollar bill, right? The pooch is less than 4 inches tall, 5 inches long, weighs a little over a pound. Guinness revealed Pearl is related to the previous world record holder who died in 2020. Pearl's owner says she might be small, but she's a bit of a diva.
Small dog, big attitude. Absolutely precious. Our pet of the day is regular size, looking for a loving home after a difficult start to life. We're talking about Jasmine. She's a three-year-old spayed female cat. She was rescued from a hoarding situation where cats were stacked outside in dog crates for their whole life. Jasmine has adjusted really well to her new surroundings. Now that she knows humans can love her and make her happy, she soaks up all the affection she can get. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
But again, those pets outside today, walk them around, have a good time with them and yourselves as well, because today's money day. Good.
That's right. Soak in that sunshine and the warmth before tomorrow's WREL Weather Alert Day, when we have a high chance for severe weather. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.